Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is 8:15 Wednesday morning. We usually use this time to pick Ronald Serpas' brain, who has a lot of it. Professor, practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, former Washington State Police chief, former Nashville City Police, consulted to numerous crime agencies around the country. So we love to think what he has to find out, rather, what he has to think. How you doing, Chief?
I'm very good, Tommy, and you?
I'm good. It's hot, and it's going to stay hot for a long time, and I'm looking at a story here from last year about shootings and violence increasing in the summer months. Is that the fact in the case in New Orleans, or is that a nationwide trend? What would criminologists say about that, and why, when it comes to summertime, does it turn more violent?
Well, in the 4 decades I've been doing this, it would be easy for me to say as a practitioner that crime goes up in the summer. Not just juveniles, but including adults. And then there's a separation in the reasoning that possibly could exist for juveniles. Juveniles tend to have more trouble when they're not in structured programs like school, when they're not in structured after programs. So we generally see juvenile crime throughout the year highlighted between 3 to 6 p.m. in the afternoon, kind of in that gap hours. Mm-hmm. But during the summer, when there's less structured activity in any city in America, not just New Orleans, you know, young people tend to congregate and they look for exciting and fun things to do. The types of crimes they might commit are annoying, you know, like shoplifting or stuff like that. However, we do see increases of adult violent crime, robberies and shootings in the summer, and we do see an increase in juvenile crime. Fortunately, my experience and a little bit of research would suggest the juvenile crime increases still tend to be around those nuisance delinquency kind of events.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's basically this, Tommy. The days are longer. There's less structure. But there is hope. There are some examples around the country that research has tended to support that when cities can find activities for children to be involved with, their parents are working, there's all these other kinds of things going on, it can make a difference, particularly in the early evening hours. But once you get into the after the midnight hour, right, the old Wolfman Jack song, you know, once you get after the after midnight hour, you're dealing with kids who probably have been doing things towards criminal behavior long before the summer and has not as much to do with the summer. So you can see the split. Mm-hmm. Typical daytime crime in the early afternoons occurs all year long with juveniles. It's going to potentially be more in the summer because there's less structure. General crime of adults occurs higher in the summer, longer days perhaps. Who knows what else might it be? And then once you get really late and into the early morning hours, I think we would generally stop thinking of this as wayward juveniles and start thinking of this as young people, irrespective of age, who are more involved in a criminal lifestyle.
Could it be people that are out and about, and so the field of victims is greater for criminals, violent criminals, or not really? I'm just making stuff up.
No, I think that's the other side of the equation is even the children who want to do good things and are not involved in crime, which outnumber bad children's decisions by thousands, mm-hmm. they're outside too now, right? School's closed, the pools, you know, I think I just read the I guess it's Groundhog Day. I think I read in the paper this week that this is another year in a row that the Cantrell administration can't find a way to pay the lifeguards for the schools. Mm. As a police chief, I thought those schools were important. I would go visit them. The mayors would go visit them in Nashville and New Orleans and say, kids, we're finding something for you to do constructive. And in that environment, they're around adults who want them to see and do good things, right? When, you know, how can it, they can't, maybe they got it paid, I don't know, but you seem like we hear this. So basically a community can rally around children, a government can rally around children, and you're leaning on the fact that you're going to get the kids who want to do good things. The very small number of kids any time of the year that want to do really bad things, they're a little more difficult to reach, they're a little more difficult to be successful with, but let's take the bet on the big number of kids who want to do the good things and keep them from being distracted by other activities that pull them into bad stuff.
Well, Chief, a story by Joni Hess, Courtney Lucius on NOLA.com. New Orleans lifeguards haven't been paid by the city for summer work. New Orleans Municipal Finance Department failed to timely pay the city's summer lifeguards. Latest example of snags in city payroll procedures that have long frustrated vendors and employees. Officials with Mayor LaToya Cantrell's administration last week said they're working diligently to resolve payroll issues. But again, seems like Groundhog's Day all over again. And the mayor is quick to, you know, just being fair here, to jump in a pool on the days that the pool opens. She's there in a bathing suit jumping in the pool. But that's one thing. Paying the lifeguards is something else. We'll pick it up. We come back. 820 traffic now. WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday morning. It means we talked to Ronald Zerpass, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, and currently a professor practicing in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola. Chief, when it comes to crime in the summer, somebody texted in about juvenile crime, how it's more of a nuisance and not really violent crime, but does that kind of develop into violent crime if not checked?
My experience would be is that the kids who are going to bounce up against delinquency do that all year long throughout decades in history of time, and then they bounce back out fairly quickly. The kids who blow through delinquent behavior and then move on into violent criminal behavior have been lost by family and assistance for a very long time. That's you see what I'm saying? That the kids that go out on the summer day and say, hey, let's go steal some magazines or something. Mm-hmm. That happens. They bounce off of it really quickly. That's pretty much the delinquency. Historical data is that kids touch delinquency, they back out. But the ones who have blown through that, who are involved in armed robberies, who are involved in beating up people, who are involved in, unfortunately, murders and assaults, they've already passed that early stage of delinquency. They've usually blown right through it. They don't wake up on one day and say, I'm a three-day student all my life. I think tonight I'm going to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and start robbing people. So the difference is the kids who are going to do those more serious crimes have probably already been identified through their behavior versus the other ones who have a little free time during the summer and say, well, let's do something a little fun. Maybe we'll go do some donuts on our motorcycle, or maybe we'll go, you know, harass somebody at the grocery store. I hope I made that difference clear. The ones who are going to be bad have already demonstrated they're going to be bad, and the other ones are just bumping in and out of it during some boredom.
Did you say magazines? When was the last time you had a drugstore? Magazines? What the hell are you?
Yeah, well, that's what I did when I was a delinquent. I stole a magazine. Yeah. My mother made me bring it back. It's pretty embarrassing. But never did it again.
That magazine industry is not what it used to be, Chief. Let me tell you that. Secondly, when it comes to then the kids that break bad because of lack of structure at home, is a pool going to really help them, or is Nord really going to help them, or are they gone and that's not going to make a difference?
Well, you know, I'll be a little Pollyannish here. The kids who have a broken home life 12 months out of the year, any chance they get to have something that's centered on helping them be better and helping them feel better before they break bad, they usually do get some comfort out of it. And it's worth it. That's why it's always a surprise that when the summer comes, the city seems to always have this recurring problem of not being able to pay. It's kind of like when you go on a plane. If you see a loose screw on the engine cowling of a plane, it makes you wonder what else is wrong. Mm-hmm. And you know summer comes every year, and you know these schools, these summer programs are so important for children who are in the middle, who are looking for good quality things to do, and you can't be prepared for that. It just doesn't make sense.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
And it sends a message, I think, to families like, this is a show. They must not really care about us if they can't get this figured out.
That's what I don't understand, Chief. It would be, to me, analogous to, oh, wait, Mardi Gras is coming this year? We're going to have a Mardi Gras
exactly.
This year? Oh, well, let's plan for it. Nobody told me this. It's December. I guess
wait,
we better get the plan.
Does the calendar say it's New Year's Eve again?
Yes,
oh,
another
goodness.
One? Who knew that was going to happen? I don't understand it either. But thank you, Chief. I appreciate your time and your insight. Any final thoughts?
No, let's just look forward to a new administration like all cities and communities do, hoping greatly that something will be different, and I hope so, too.
I hope you're right. I really do, because the Lord knows we need it. Thank you, sir. Chief Ronald Serpas. Mm-hmm. We'll come back, talk about the EPA planning to reconsider a ban on, of all things, asbestos. What do we know about how asbestos affects us? We'll talk with Dr. Kyle Happel from LSU Health New Orleans and give you the information as best as we can. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist it. Tiger fans, LSU is going to host the national championship celebration for the LSU baseball Tigers tonight, 7 o'clock in Alex Box Stadium. We're going to bring you a complete replay of the celebration featuring Coach Jay Johnson and LSU players right after our Pelicans draft special tonight at 9 here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. The Pelicans draft special starts at 6, so we got a big night of sports broadcasting for you tonight. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we'll go to Dave Cohen. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Dr. Kyle Happel, a Division Chief of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. Good morning, Dr. Kyle. How are you?
I am well, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. I have a little bit of an issue with asbestos, and I was checked for it, and I used to work at Firestone as a kid, and I would blow out the brake drums because they told us to do that. They didn't know what was going on at that point, right? And it got in my lungs and all of that stuff. Is that the same asbestos that the EPA is planning to reconsider a ban on? Is asbestos asbestos? How does it affect us? Hey, I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but you understand what I'm saying. Tell me about it.
Sure. Yeah, asbestos, there's actually several different types of fibers that are asbestos family fibers. The problem is it's hard to know which of them are truly dangerous and which of them are less dangerous. The concern is we have overwhelming evidence that asbestos fibers, certainly many types of asbestos fibers, have been incontrovertibly linked to lung disease as well as certain types of cancer. And so the U.S. and many other developed countries have really walked back. In fact, we have not mined asbestos in the U.S. for decades because we really do appreciate now the significant lung hazards and overall health hazards of asbestos exposure.
So what is it exactly? Is this a naturally occurring thing, the asbestos, or do people manufacture this? I'm trying to get a handle on that. And how did we come to using it? And then all of a sudden, we decided not to use it, and mitigation became a major industry, and the EPA was very involved, but now they're saying that, well, maybe you can use it? I'm confused.
All great questions, Tommy. It certainly is a naturally occurring fiber. It's a hydrated magnesium silicate that you can mine from mountainsides and ranges. And in fact, the U.S. used to be a major, if not the world's leading producer of a compound called vermiculite up in a little town known as Libby, Montana. The unfortunate thing for the residents of Libby, Montana is were that it had lots of vermiculite, which was contaminated with asbestos, and roughly 10% of the population of that town died of asbestos-related complications.
Mm. So this was considered, I hate to say miracle, but a wonder product until it wasn't, right?
Yeah, it has amazing insulative properties. I think that everyone who's been in the New Orleans area for a while recognizes the fact that we've had many industries that manufactured products that contained asbestos because of its fire retardant and insulative properties. Many folks can remember the Johns Manfield plant on the West Bank that manufactured roofing goods and insulation goods and all kind of sheet goods, PVC pipe, cement pipe, things that were reinforced with asbestos. It has some very desirable physical properties in terms of strength and insulation. The problem is it's just incredibly hazardous to lung health.
So what exactly does it do, doctor? What does this asbestos do when it gets into your lungs? I had the doctor explain it to me a little bit. I'm not really that sick, but I did have some damage to my lungs because of all of the brake dust that I breathed in as a teenager, because nobody knew at that time, of course. But tell me what it does to your lungs.
Well, it can range from just changes on an x-ray, Tommy, that really don't have any symptoms associated with it. We can see things that we call pleural plaque. Sometimes they contain calcium so that they're real easy to see on a chest x-ray. Many cases, those are not symptomatic. They don't drive any kind of disease. Unfortunately, some cases do progress on to what we call a fibrotic lung disease, a disease called asbestosis, where the normally very fine structure of your lung becomes very coarse and actually fills in with fibrotic tissue, and it becomes very hard for gas to exchange in the lung, and that's the job of the lung. People can start to experience shortness of breath, particularly with activity, cough. Sometimes you'll get a sharp pain when you take a deep breath, and that's one of the unfortunate complications of you know, particularly longer term exposure to asbestos, is what we call asbestosis. But the real scary one that we don't have a great idea that there's a like a dose response relationship to it is what's called mesothelioma, which is really an awful malignancy that can pop up in the lining surface of the lung in a way that you don't really have to have a substantial fiber burden exposure. Many cases of housewives who would wash their husband's clothes when they would come home from, you know, a plant or, like you say, an auto shop. And those folks who, they weren't in the shops, they weren't doing the breaks, but they just got enough exposure that they themselves died of mesothelioma.
Well, I had the worst of it because I wasn't doing the breaks. I was the helper that cleaned up for the guy that was doing the breaks. But let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Dr. Kyle Happel talking about the EPA planning to reconsider a ban on asbestos, and just, you know, I understood about a third of what you said scientifically there, doctor. I'm trying, but just from a practical standpoint, I don't understand how, you know, we can have lawyers on TV advertising about asbestos damage, but now we're saying that the EPA is going to reconsider a ban on it when people are manifesting themselves today with problems that we didn't know existed then. So how do we know that's not going to happen 25 years from now? My mind just can't wrap itself around this. 8:51 traffic now, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9, couple of minutes left with Dr. Kyle Happel, Division Chief of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. Lord knows I am no Dr. Kyle Happel, but I am a guy that worked with asbestos as a teenager in high school and went to, saw the lawyers' commercials and figured I'd go get tested and have a little bit of a problem as a result of it. So, Dr. Happel, what I can't understand is that if this was something we thought was good then, and then they had class action suits, and now the lawyers are saying money's available and the companies were held liable, well, if the EPA is even reconsidering a ban on cancer-causing asbestos, why would the companies be willing to take that risk when they've already been found liable by the courts, right? Am I missing something here or not? That's beyond the medical part of it.
I think it's a definite head scratcher to me as well, Tommy. The EPA has spent over $1 billion through their Superfund money as well as other mechanisms to clean up asbestos sites in the U.S. We had just talked about one of the worst sites of all, Libby, Montana, where so many people died of asbestos-related disease. The evidence is just there. There's really just an amazing amount of evidence, both from within the U.S. as well as other countries that clearly document the health risks to this. And so I have to say, from a lung doctor's perspective, you know, we have a great group of folks at LSU, all my lung doctors and nurses and therapists. We have the privilege of caring for people who have asbestos-related disease. And this is not something that you would wish on your worst enemy. And so we certainly, from a lung health perspective, could not advocate for a return to asbestos use. And, you know, all developed countries have really walked away from asbestos. It's incredibly hard to even find asbestos used currently in manufactured products. There are still, you know, many examples of buildings that have asbestos in it, but the asbestos is intact. It's not disturbed. And as long as it's, you know, left that way, it's actually quite safe. And so it really is kind of confusing to me when I first heard about this as well. But you're certainly on the right side of the evidence that moving back towards asbestos is probably not the best of idea from a population health or individual health perspective.
Makes me scratch my head as well, and I'm no division chief of pulmonary critical care medicine at LSU Health New Orleans. Thank you, Dr. Kyle Happel. I appreciate it. Have a great day, and thank you for everything you do. And it just makes me wonder if the companies have been held liable, who would want it? Who would want to engage in this? Who would want to do business with asbestos? And I don't. Something's missing here. I don't know. There's some piece of the puzzle that I'm not getting. We come back, we're going to talk about racing at the fairgrounds this season, after Churchill Downs back down from their game on Texas Hold'em. Then we're going to talk about the Pelicans draft. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.